Never forget the time I had a sore throat, bad sore throat. And I said, I have a sore throat. And my mother said, let me feel your forehead. Mothers are always feeling things, you know. Let me feel your head. Let me feel your arm. Doctors do that, too. A lot of doctors do that. They're wonderful people. No, I love doctors, but there's only one thing, two things I've found fault with. I can find fault with the doctors. One, you could have a busted leg. Your leg could be hanging out, and the guy will still want to feel it. You know, let me feel it. Does that hurt? Hey! Yeah, does that hurt? Does that hurt? And they always keep the stethoscope in the freezer. I warm that thing up with my hands. Whenever I go to see my doctor, I grab a stethoscope. I pull it right out of the refrigerator and I start warming it up with my hands. And they put that cold thing on you and they say, take a deep breath. Oh! You can't help but take a deep breath. The problem is trying to breathe out now. So I'm sitting on the emergency ward with my sore throat, and the doctor comes out. He says, what's the matter? He says, son, my son has a sore throat. I said, okay, take a look at it. Aw. Say, aw. Oh. So, oh, well, this is it. I said, he's really got it. He's got tonsillitis, Mrs. Cotterby. Oh, all right, well, what do you want to do? Well, we usually do a tonsillectomy on Wednesday, which is the day after tomorrow. You can leave him here tonight. What are you guys going to leave him? You're not leaving me nowhere. Can't my mother sleep with me? No, your mother's not going to sleep with me. Well, somebody's got to sleep with me. I'm not sleeping nowhere by myself. Well, you're just going to... We're going to operate on you. Operate who? Man, don't let them operate on me. Please, don't let them do nothing bad. What are they going to cut? Well, don't worry about it. It's just going to cut two things in your throat. Two things in my throat! And then I won't be able to talk or what? Yes, you'll be able to talk. Listen, son, let me explain to you. Your tonsils, which we're going to have to take out, guard your throat, you see. They stand there, they're two guards. They have hand grenades, bazookas, and everything. And anything bad that comes into your mouth, they fight it off. See? Well, in your case, your tonsils have lost the war. As a matter of fact, your tonsils have gone as far as to join the other side, you see. And they're going to kill you if we don't cut them out.
Well, you're going to hurt and everything.
No, we're not going to hurt you. Now, listen, as a matter of fact, listen to me now. When they cut your tonsils out, don't you know, are you ready for the lie? They'll give you all the ice cream in the world you can eat.
Is that right? I can have all ice cream in the world I can eat?
Yes, I'm not kidding.
You don't tell me no fibs now, Mom.
No, I'm not kidding. You have all the ice cream.
Say, honest to God. Boy, you guys are in trouble. Because I can eat a mess of ice cream, I'm telling you. Now, one time I ate a whole elephant full of chocolate. Hey, can I have chocolate?
You can have chocolate.
Oh, boy. Take me wherever I'm supposed to go now. You can cut off my whole neck for some chocolate ice cream, man.
So they marched me in, and I turned in my civvies, and they gave me that hospital thing that you put on where the back is open, and you're afraid to, you know, your back away from people, and you bump into the walls in there, you know, marble wall, ice cold. And the iron cribs are ice cold. This is so cold, you stick to the cribs, you know. And, gee whiz, man. So I marched on the ward, and they introduced me to my two buddies. This is Johnson.
Hey, Johnson, how you doing? You gonna get some ice cream, too?
Yes, they told me I'd get some ice cream. Yeah, well, listen, man. When the nurse leaves, I'll talk to you about that ice cream later, because we're going to eat a mess of ice cream. And this is Rudolph. How you doing, Rudolph? You gotta get some ice cream?
Yeah, I'll get ice cream. Yeah, boy, eat it up.
Okay, poor boy. All right, nurse, you may leave now. We're all right. So we sat down, we looked at each other, and we said, ice cream.
Ice cream? We're gonna eat ice cream. And we will eat it every day in the middle of the night, man. We're singing ice cream. They'll eat that ice cream, and the nurses are padding the doors, locking them up in there. We're going to eat ice cream. Listen, you know what I'm going to do. When I get my first bowl of ice cream, I'm not even going to touch it or eat it or nothing. I'm going to smear it all over my body, man. Just smear it all over my face and eyes and hair and everywhere. And then I'm going to put a green cherry in my navel. And I'm going to be the most beautiful chocolate sundae you've ever seen in your life. Ice cream. I'm going to eat ice cream. I'm telling you now, ice cream. Sing along with me now. And the whole day passed, man. Every time the orderly brought by the breakfast cart, man, all right, that's out of breakfast. And we'd eat it up, man. Our stomachs would swell up. We ate so much. You got to keep eating a lot so your stomach will stretch, man. Lunchtime, bring it in. Ah, eating everything. Make it stretch out. Make it stretch out. Bring in the dinner. Ah, and the supper. Ah, we ate everything, man. Preparing for the ice cream. Okay, and we didn't even sleep the night of surgery. Hey, man, yeah, we're going to get some ice cream and everything. Ice cream. Ice cream! We're going to get ice cream. And that morning, the orderly went by with the breakfast cart. Hey! You, almost a doctor. Thing, man, we gotta eat this morning.
You're not getting nothing to eat.
How come?
Because you're getting your tonsils out.
Well, what's that gotta do with it?
When you get your tonsils out, you can't have any food in your stomach because you throw up.
Are you kidding? One time I ate a dead frog. I didn't throw up or nothing, man. Bring that breakfast cart back here.
And he went away. In came the nurse with the gurney. You know, the gurney's the thing that they put you on to take you down to surgery. And the wheels on the gurneys are always the same. They always have that wobble like there's a windstorm going on about 6 inches above the ground. That's why a lot of women never make it to the delivery rooms. Pew, baby's out, take her back. Save money, time and space, you know. So she wheeled it in, we all stood up. Ice cream! We're gonna eat ice cream! All right, now it's time to go to surgery. Who's going first? Take me! No, take me! I wanna go! No, don't, you gotta get. Listen, CB4, V, and S. You guys hit strawberry vanilla, and I'm C as alphabetically. I go first, you know. No, we're gonna take Johnson, because he was here first. Oh, sure.
Okay, Johnson, go ahead, man. Get that ice cream. Cut it up there. All right, go ahead, Johnson.
Johnson stepped on a gurney. Well, suckers, I guess you know what this means. If they run out of strawberry, vanilla and chocolate are definitely in jeopardy.
Okay, Johnson, don't eat it up from us, though. Hey, Johnson, go ahead, babe.
And we sat down, man, and we looked at each other.
Ice cream! We're going to eat ice cream. And boom, Johnson's back! Okay, y'all, you ready? Yeah, me too. Go ahead, Jazz. Hey, Jazz, wake up. Hey, Jazz, come your eyeballs just keep waving around in the air. Nice, ain't it? That's ketchup, right? That's ketchup on his mouth, coming around from his mouth. Ain't it ketchup? Please say it's ketchup, because we ain't the thing that you killed, Johnson. They killed Johnson. They picked him up. Johnson was like a wet rag. Oh, man. I picked the bottle up and broke it. All right, who's next? Get away from me. Okay, fight him off, Rudy. I'll hit him off here. They ain't touching neither one of us. Rudy started crying. Oh, no, no. Rudy had the funniest cry you ever wanted to see. He would run whenever he cried. Oh, no. And they picked him up and they strapped him down on the gurney, man, and they took him away. Rudy, keep fighting, Dave. Keep fighting. Just remember one thing. Keep your mouth closed. Jesse, Johnson, wake up, babe. Ice cream. You gotta sing with me. Ice cream. Oh, he's dancing. All right, Rudy, did you keep it? No, he didn't keep it. There you go.
Okay, William, you're next.
Well, wait. Before you touch me, I have a confession to make. Does it mean anything to you if I say that I just had breakfast? Okay, I'll go peacefully. And they put me on a gurney. And they covered me up with a sheet up to my neck. They put me on the elevator. And I knew I was going to die. And I hadn't really prepared myself for it. And it was pitiful. You know, when you're only 5 years old and your life passes before you, it's pitiful, man. You really don't have that much of a life to pass before you. It was just a little and then it was gone. I had to call for a rerun. And it brought me into surgery. Doctors and nurses all got their masks on so you can't tell who they are. And they put a needle in my arm and let the thing go. And the doctor said, count backwards from 100. 100. Nine. I didn't even make it to the second nine. I was so pitiful. Of course, now, I understand that if you're an alcoholic, you can last longer. Now, if they ever get my old man on an alcohol, they're really in trouble, man. I know Dad will give them trouble. 4, 3, 2, 1... 0. Now, what else do you want me to do? I think you better get another bottle. Yeah, that's what I need, a bottle. You better give me a bottle. Not for the arm, for the mouth. And the thing pressed me through the table. And I remember I wanted to wake up. Wake up, wake up, wake up. Yep, and it's time to wake up. Okay. Well, why don't you open your eyes? Nope, don't want to. How come? Well, because every time I open my eyes, the room starts to act silly. Going around in circles and I'm jumping up and down. I don't wanna wake up. I just stay like this, half awake, half asleep, and just hum a little bit. How's your mouth feel? Oh, it's dry. Very dry. And your tongue? Oh, it's dry too, yeah. And the lips are dry, and the tongue is dry, and the mouth is dry, and the throat is dry, and everything is dry, 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 dry. What, do you want to swallow? Yep. Well, why don't you? Nobody asked me. I like trying to do a little swallow. Okay.
Oh, brain gas. This is throat. Yeah, you better get some work done down there. Somebody killed the kid or something.
Hello, kid.
Mm-hmm.
You want to try and swallow?
Mm-mm.
Try and swallow again. We want to check out the trouble.
No.
Try it. Come on. Do this over.
ice cream.
Now, I'm telling you right now that something's got to be done about the attitude of the grown-ups. Now, I've been doing a lot of research, and I found out that the grown-ups, when I was a child, the grown-ups were trying to murder us and bump us off. No, I have proof. I have definite proof that the grown-ups were trying to get rid of us. For what reason, I'm not sure. It might have been the fact we had no babysitters, and it's very expensive to watch us. I'll proceed to prove my point. First of all, we had a perfectly good playground. Perfectly good playground. It was a field leveled off. They tore down some houses, and we called it our playground. And it was broken glass and rocks and bricks and everything on it. We never lost one kid. Not one kid died. Or not one broken arm, one broken leg, broken anything. Maybe a little gash here and there. That's all right. And then the grown-ups started in. They moved in the monkey bars. The monkey bars came in. We lost 124 kids in one day.
Hey, look at me. I'm on top of the weed.
Kids were falling off the monkey bars like snowflakes, breaking arms, legs, losing everything, hanging upside down. I never played on them myself. Because I saw the kids falling off of them, and I tried to warn them, please don't play on the monkey. Oh, there goes another one. And I made it my philosophy after that never to play on nothing I never saw no grown-ups playing on. And I never saw any grown-ups climbing up on no monkey bars. They would build them, but they would never play on them. And I knew then that they were trying to kill us off. And a lot of kids lost arms, legs, everything. And I'll tell you something else. Then they found out that I wouldn't play on the monkey bars. And they built another thing which they thought they could kill me on. It's a thing that you sit on. I tried it once. You sit on it, and three of your friends push you around. You go around in a circle for 5 minutes, and then you throw up. Not one kid asked for that. You ask any kid, go up and ask any kid, kid, what would you like? He'll never say, I want something you go around a circle for 5 minutes and then puke. You never heard no kids ask for that. And I've never seen any grown-ups riding on it. Although some of them look like they've been riding on it. An out-and-out attempt to kill us. And the last thing that they put up is the seesaw. An out-and-out attempt to kill us. The seesaw. And that's where you got to get, they try and get a kid in on the plot. And you sit up high and the kid jumps off and that's all for you. You land, your brains fall right out on the floor. There's a lot of kids never had a chance to have a deep voice because of that seesaw. We used to steal the wheels off of baby coaches to make go-karts. Now, those of you that don't know what a go-kart is, a go-kart is made from wood that you take old orange crates and stuff like that, it's shaped like an eye, like a big eye. We'll stand it up for you. A board goes across this way, and then one goes down the middle, and then one goes across this way again. Then you have to make an axis so that you can make a left and a right turn, hammer down rope and everything. So you make a left and right turn. Then you need wheels. You've got to have baby coach wheels. Got to have them. Nothing else will work. So we used to go out at night stealing baby coach wheels. 287 baby coach wheels we stole. The odd wheel was because old Weird Harold had a Continental on the back. You get in here. Get in your old go-kart there and just sit in it and just pretend that you were driving all over the country. And you gotta have your own music to ride your go-kart. Na-na-na-na-na-na-na. Na-na-na-na-na-na-na. That was my music. I took mine from the Rough Riders. Old Weird Harold took his from the Lone Ranger. And Crying Charlie took his from the Green Hornet. We had about 3 million kids all racing with their own music. And so the cops heard about our stealing because the mothers reported, "There are kids out here stealing our baby coach wheels. Every morning we put our children into the baby coaches, push them, the coaches don't move. Children look up and say, 'Why me?' So we had to hide them. And we waited 2 days for the heat to blow over. And we brought them out Saturday morning. Go-Kart Championship of America. And we're out there, all of us, full force, 300 kids out there. And we're warming up our go-karts at the top of the hill. We had a race on Dead Man's Hill. It was called Dead Man's Hill because it went straight down for about a quarter of a mile, and then it emptied out onto a freeway. Henceforth, the name Dead Man's Hill. And we had everything. We had guys that would make pit stops and everything. If your wheel came off, guys would grab it and put it back on. To have a 2-hour pit stop. You know, because it takes a long time to hammer out the nail, straighten it back out, and then put it back in with a rock. You know, you can do it with a nail and a hammer, a real straight one, but you can't do it with a rock. And we had a fireman. Little kid, 3 years old, used to follow us running down the hill. Had a cup of water in his hand. Whenever you went bad, he hit you in the face with peesh, you know, and put you out, run back up. He was fast. So now we got the Go-Kart Championship of America, and we're all warming up. I'm warming up my go-kart. Hadn't even gotten out of first gear yet. Old Weird Harold's warming up his Rolls Royce. His sounds like this. And his old Crying Child. And the kid came out with his father's underwear. He took black shoe polish, made some squares on him, and he weighed them. They're off! We're going down the hill. And I'm winning by 6 inches. Right behind me is old Weird Al. And he's gaining on me. It's almost like a 4-way tie for first place. Old Weird Harold shot past me. Gotta catch up with him. Reached into my pocket, pulled out my trusty can of 3-in-1 oil. Zoomed ahead. One of the kids went off to the side and actually boosh right in the face. Got him. And I look about 20 feet from the bottom of the hill and I see 900 cop cars waiting. I went to my emergency brake, which is a piece of wood. Push it forward, it'll stop you if you're going about 1 mile every 5 weeks. No good. Put my legs down. I gotta stop. The cops are gonna lock us up. No. We smashed up 900 5-6-year-old kids on the ground crying. Oh, the cops are beautiful. Gonna scare us to death. Pull the guns out. We'll shoot them down right here. Kill all of them, boy. Crying Charlie broke. The cops pulled out the cuffs, put the handcuffs on us, and it backfired on them because her wrists were so skinny that as soon as we put our arms down, they fell off. Hey, Mrs., the things fell off of us, but we wasn't trying to run away or nothing. We was just standing right here. Honest, don't shoot us down or nothing, but they fell off of us because the wrists, and so they thigh cuffed us together, and that's the way we went to jail. I'm 7 years old, standing up in my crib. I kept falling out of the crib. I really, You know, I mean, they gave me a bed, but I kept falling out of it. And I'm staying up there. My parents are going out, see. They're just walking back and forth. We live in an apartment building. It's only one bathroom. And there's my bedroom, then my parents' bedroom. And they have to pass by my bedroom in order to get to the bathroom. And if the door's open, I can see them. And I know they're going out because they keep bumping into each other, you know. Boom, boom, get out of the way. Boom, where's my sock? I don't wear them, you know. So, this is before babysitters, when parents did not believe in babysitters at all. You know, the philosophy was, what? Let some stranger look after my kid? I'd just as soon leave him home by himself. So, I'm staying up here. I got my sleepers on. I wore sleepers till I was 12. I love sleepers because I used to put mashed potatoes in the bottom of my sleepers and make my mother feel them. Mom, Phil's a dead rat, she'd faint. My mom would faint for anything, man. I used to get hit in the head with a rock and cover up the blood. She couldn't stand blood for nothing, man. I'd go home, stand right behind her. She's cooking. Mom, look, blood. She'd faint. So I'm standing up in the crib, and they both come up, you know. Now, the whole thing to them is that they have to scare me to make me stay in the bed, see. They tell you some kind of a lie. That's what the parents used to do. There's a green monster out the door. If you get out of that bed, he'll eat you right up, you know. So I'm a con man. I really am. I'm a good con man. Boy, I never went to school if I didn't want to. My whole thing was so beautiful. My mother used to come in, boom, open the door, and I'd be in the bed, you know. And she'd say, aren't you going to school? And I'd say, Mother, is that you? Just bring your face here so I can touch it before I leave. You know. Never went to school one day. And always got out at 3:30 to play. Used to go up to her. 3:30. A miracle happened! I'm well! You're not well, get back into bed. Honest to goodness, Mom! A little angel came right up on my bed, hit me with a wand, twang, said, go out and play. And she had to believe the angel. I knew that. So anyway, I'm standing in my crib. And I said, now don't get out of the crib, please. She said, my father, I love my father's approach. It was basic. Stay in the bed. That's all, you know. Stay in the bed, see? I knew how to answer him. I will. And that was it. You know, he'd go, and then I'd jump out of the crib, you know. Papa's beautiful, but mothers, they give you a half out. Stay in the crib because your life is important to this and that. Oh, yes, I've heard that before. But my old man would just come up, stay in the bed. Right, Dad. And he'd leave. He said his piece, you know. So now my mother comes in. I don't get out of the crib. Yes, Mother, I'm tired anyway. I'm going to sleep. The Sandman's beating me to death, and I'm so tired. Pardon me for not seeing you to the door, but I'm just tired. I'm telling you right now, don't get out of that crib. Now, the last time you got out of the crib, you went in and listened to that radio and heard that awful Lights Out program, and it scared you so bad that you smeared Jell-O all over the kitchen floor to make the monster slip if he came at you. And your father went into the kitchen to get a drink of water, slipped and hurt himself. Now, to make sure that you don't get out of this crib, we've placed over 100 black poisonous snakes around your crib. And if you so much as put a toe out there, they're gonna bite you, you're gonna swell up and be dead until morning. I don't see no snakes, they're invisible. And she left, boom. Boy, I'm telling you right now, I'm so sick of this place. I run away from home. They're always putting black snakes. Snakes! You get out of here! This is not your room, this is my room, and you just get out of here!
I don't care who sent you in here. This is my room. I didn't ask you to come in here, nasty snakes. Snakes, do you hear me talking to you? Huh? Snakes, I gotta go to the bathroom. Come on, have a heart on a guy, will you? Are you out there? Listen, snakes, now don't you bite. Don't you bite me. I'm gonna put my toe out there. Don't bite it. Just give it a little snaky lick. Come on. Okay, listen. You could bite it just a little bit. But don't put none of your juice in it. Nothing. Well, go ahead. I bet you're not even mother. Go and bite it, suckers. Yeah, I know you wasn't out there. Lie to me, boy. I'm going to listen to the radio. We had a Philco radio. It was about 6 feet tall. Had 287 knobs on it, of which only two worked, off on volume and the station selector. The extra knobs were if you'd lose one, you could replace them right away. You don't have to go to the store. And I love to get scared to death. Anything that'll scare me to death, I loved it. I loved Frankenstein, a Wolfman, and a mummy so much. I used to sit right up front. And then they would come at me, and I would squish myself into the orchestra pit. I hid all over the place. I'm telling you, I had pictures of them all over my house. Never looked at them. Was scared of them. And there were three programs that were scary. One was suspense. It wasn't too scary. That was suspenseful. Then there was Inner Sanctum, where the guy played the organ. And then he would come in, good evening, and he was so happy to scare you to death. And he opened that door, and then he told you a weird story about his Uncle Harry who had lost his hip bone or something like that. Oh, man. But what really scared me was when he closed the door. At the end, I knew somebody was in the house then, and I started smearing that Jell-O. No monster gonna get near me with that Jell-O on the floor. I've tripped up many a monster with that Jell-O on the floor. History Bob. And now, got my radio, I turn it on. You gotta wait maybe 8 days. It'll heat up, you know, 8 days. But you go. And then I just, there's good news. Good evening. That's the guy. Go ahead, scare me to death. I'm ready. Scare me, man. Come on now. And welcome to Lights Out. Yeah. Go ahead, scare me. I was dumb enough to do whatever the guy said to do on the radio. Turn your lights out. Yeah, all right, yeah. They're out. Go on, scare me to death. I'm ready. Tonight's episode is about a chicken heart. A chicken heart that ate up New York City. Yeah, go chicken heart, go. Go get him. Eat him up, chicken heart. Scare me to death. I'm ready. The chicken heart was kept alive in a laboratory in a vat. Special solution. Half blood, half sodium salicylate. One day, a careless janitor knocked the vat over. He went to get a rag to clean it up. The chicken heart grew. 6'5". And in search of human blood. Janitor came back
opened the door. The heart ate him up.
What?
Go get him, Chicken Heart. Go get him. Go get him. It moved out into the hallway. Rang for the elevator.
Fourth floor. Ah!
Go get him, Chicken Heart. Go get him. You will. Moved out into the street. Ate up all the cabs.
Beep, beep.
The Empire State Building. Ate up the Jersey Turnpike. It's in your home state. It's outside of your door. And it's going to eat you up.
Oh, I got my Jello star smearing it all over the floor. Come on, hit your heart. I set the sofa on fire. You won't come near smoking fire and Jello. My father came in the house and what? What the hell's the sofa doing on fire? Come in the house, the Chicken Heart's gonna eat you up, hurry up, okay. Zip, what Chicken Heart are you talking about? We're on the radio. Say, the idiot, turn it off.
I hadn't thought of that. For 2 years, anybody that passed by our house, my father, whether he knew him or not, would call him in.
Hey, come here, I want to show you my dumb kid. Tom, tell him how you burned up $100 sofa and broke your father's arm to save us from that.
I think the pride of my school days was when I was in shop, in junior high school. Shop, yes. I remember we had a nasty shop teacher. He was, that's what we called him, Mr. Nasty. He just didn't like kids at all. And one time I was reading a comic book, not in his class. We had 2 minutes to go before the bell would ring. And he came up, yanked it away from me. You'll get this back at the end of the semester. Why, does it take you that long to read it?
But the proudest thing I remember was shop having an apron. You know the apron they put on you in shop? That gray apron that meant so much to me. Because I used to excuse myself and pass by where the girls are cooking. And they thought I was something. I used to have 37 pencils in my apron, you know. I'd walk by with grease and oil on my hands that I'd borrowed from somebody's car, you know. I'd walk out on that guy's car and get some grease and oil on me, you know. I'd walk by, you know, and my girlfriend Doris used to come out and say,
"Whoa, what are you making now?"
"Oh, yeah, how you doing, Doris? What are we making? You mean this week?" "Well, this week we're we're just finishing up a Boeing 707. One of the great lies of our times."
You know what else I could never figure out? Who made the spigots or the faucets in the schools? The guy couldn't have had you washing your hands in mind when he made them. Because it's impossible to wash your hand with holding the thing while the water comes out. You can't do it. And I spent 3 hours trying to wash my hands, trying to figure out how I could give it a good burst and put both hands under at the same time, let it go like that. And then that soap they give you in the bowl, you gotta have about 12 bowls full before you can get a bubble. Who does all that? Somebody weird, I bet you.
You ever had a cold and try and survive the day blowing your nose on those paper towels they keep in there? Why, you can clean your whole lip right off. All the skin can be gone in one day. Tell you a story about my boss, Sheldon Leonard. Sheldon Leonard, this is a true story. Sheldon Leonard's the man that hired me for iSpy. He brought me up to his office. He said, "I want you to be a spy." I said, "Okay." So we signed a contract, and the series was a hit. I don't complicate anything, man. So Sheldon was married a long time ago, probably before there was hair. He's an old bugger. He's really old, dude. And he took his wife on a honeymoon up to Niagara Falls, and this was when Niagara Falls was brand new. They didn't even give you a raincoat or nothing, you know. You just stood there, you got wet, and you came down, you smiled at each other, you know. And he tells a story. He said, "It was very cold that day, but the following morning, the sun came out, and it shone brightly. And the temperature went up to 99. So I said to my bride, why don't we take a little dip in the wonderful lake?" And his bride looked at us, "Yes, shall." Yeah, they talk alike. "I believe we should." And he did. Went forth, put on his bathing suit, his beautiful body, which has since gone bad on him. And he went stepping with his little 4'11 wife. Frankie's beautiful. She's just 4'11. She's built like regular little wife. And he went walking, got to the edge of the lake, and it was 99 out. And he said, "My dear, I believe I should take a plunge." That's the way they used to talk in the old days. You know, you had to tell your wife everything you're going to do, even if she was standing there looking at you, you know. "My dear, I believe I will walk to this board." "Do it, do it." He said, "Are you with me?" She said, "Yes, Sheldon, I'm with you." And he went up, and he hit the diving board. And he did soar into the air. Up, up, up. Forming a great swan dive. Yes. Now, we will pause a second. Leave our hero stranded in the air. We'll hold him. Don't worry about it. He won't drop. He's still up there. And we will say, he is about to plunge into a what?
Lake.
Uh-huh. And how do you get lake water?
Well, usually what happens is the water runs down from the mountain.
Yes, and how do you get it?
Maybe the snow will melt.
Right. Does it ever really get hot?
No.
And so he is about to dive into what?
12 degrees.
Now we pick up our hero at the peak of his swan. And he is now descending, and he's coming down, and poosh, he hit the water. And immediately he said, "My body turned into a giant goose pimple." And as I submerged, my eyes would not close because they too wanted to know what had hit them. My body began to drop into a ball. I touched bottom, thank goodness, and pushed up. And as my head broke through the water, I was facing my wife, about 30 feet away from her. And she stood there smiling. And I said to myself, why should I tell her? So I gathered every inch, every muscle, and I smiled. And I said to her, "Come on in, dear. The water's fine." And she hit the board. And made a great swan. And when she came down,
the tips of her fingers touched the water. And she made one of the greatest hand walks across the lake any man has ever seen. And stood on the other side and yelled great obscenities to me. So that's Sheldon Clay. Thank you.
You know what my mother tried to kill me with? I can eat anything in the world. I can. You want raw fish, I don't care. I can eat it. I've eaten in Japan all over. Love the food. Not a thing wrong with it. Raw snake, anything. Been to Mexico. I eat anything. Any food, I eat it. But I cannot get down a lump of cream of wheat. Something happens to me, and every time I swallow it, it gets right there, and I cannot get down a lump of... You can hold a $5,000 bill right in front of my face. Put it in my hand. Swallow the lump, you can have it. Can't get it down. I cannot get it down. And my mother tried to kill me off with that cream of wheat. She'd bring that bowl down, and I'd just look at it, take that spoon and stir it up. I knew that lump was in there somewhere. And I'll find it if I have to look 5 hours. I know that there's a lump in here. And I'd find, here it is. Try to kill me off. And then as soon as I put the cream in it, 5 more would show up. Man. They're all in here. They're all in the cream of wheat. All these lumps to make you gag. And then she tried to cover up the lumps by putting raisins in the cream of wheat. No chance. My throat knows a raisin from a lump of cream of wheat. I'm telling you that. She tried to do the same thing to my mashed potatoes, putting raisins in my mashed potatoes. I'll find it. Special class was really weird. Special class, that's where they have all these kids like Mortimer Snerd, you know? You know, you say to the guy, and they're all in the neighborhood. You know every one of them, you know, but they just never get to first grade. From somewhere from kindergarten to the first grade, somebody snatched them. You ask any kid in special class, how'd you get there? I don't know. They just put me there. I was just walking down the street, and they yanked me right into the room. You know, and they're, you know. But, of course, that doesn't say the kid won't graduate college. You know, a lot of them make some of the finest quarterbacks in the world. Just takes a little time to develop them, that's all. But what I'm trying to get at is that the special class, many was it, I wish I was in special class, because they were always walking by our room. We're in there sweating, writing, reading, doing things, and they're always going to the zoo. We're going to the zoo today. And after that, we're going to baseball game. Then we're going to Hong Kong, and then they're taking us to Japan. And we're going to a lot of places. Yup, 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 yup. I'll never forget that. And a lot of us tried to get into the dumb class, too. Huh? We'd sit up here and teach us, watch 101. Yup, 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 yup. Now sit down. We've got your IQ marks back. You're not dumb.